Appreciate you, brother.
Amen. Appreciate you guys. Boy, good evening. It sure, once again, as I started out this morning, I'll start out tonight, sure is a blessing to be here at First Baptist Eaton. And Pastor, to answer your question, yes, the emails are a blessing, okay? And I do apologize. I do my best to answer them, but every once in a while, one or two slip through the cracks. But what a blessing that you guys reach out. Now, speaking of that, and on the topic of prayer, prayer works. And I do want to mention, I don't think I mentioned this morning, but we do have our updated prayer cards, okay? So this, I believe, is our fifth or sixth prayer card. I think the sixth. Just because we had two during deputation, because we started out as a couple, and then all of a sudden we had an addition still during deputation. One of you came and showed me our 2019 prayer card. Yes, sir. What was it, you? It wasn't. Okay, it was one of there right in the back. Yes, sir. Amen. So we were here in 2019 without a shadow of a doubt, unless we mailed. But anyway, it sure is a blessing. Swing by, pick up a prayer card. Now, let me share this story with you just to encourage you to continue to pray. I had a supporting church. We were visiting, I think, our second furlough here, and she walked up to me. The secretary of this particular supporting church walked up to me and said, "Brother Nichols, can I give you a gift?" And I looked at her and said, "Yes, ma'am, that would be an honor." So she pulled out three-by-five cards, and she gave them to me. And as I looked at those 3x5 cards, she said, "Can I explain those cards to you?" And I said, "Please do." Well, on the top, it was written the Charles Nichols family. And then there were just columns after columns of dates on both sides of those two cards. They were completely full of dates. And she said, "The Lord has burdened my heart several years ago to pray for all of the missionaries that our church supports at least twice a week. And every time I pray for them, I put those dates on those cards." And she said, "Every once in a while, the Lord burdens my heart specifically for a family, and I pray every single day that week that God burdens my heart for that particular missionary family." And I thought that was awesome. I thanked her just profoundly and stuck them in my pocket, and we left and continued on with our travels. And I keep those cards. I have them till today in my stuff. And I, every once in a while, I just pull those out, and I'm reminded of saints who pray for us. Now, get this. After leaving there, I got to thinking about that. She said she prays for us twice, and every once in a while, every single, you know, for a week, whenever the Lord's burdened her heart. And I was reminded of a particular time that we were facing a real hard problem in our ministry there. And it was a particular week. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to look at those cards and see if that dear prayer warrior prayed for us that week. Pastor Joel, I pulled those cards out, and guess what? That particular week, God had burdened that faithful prayer warrior to pray for our family every single day. I keep those cards. And as I mentioned, I am reminded, but not only those who give those cards, and that was a precious gift, but church family, your notes make a difference, and they are an encouragement. So Pastor Sensa, you know, as a missionary, I once again reaffirm, First Baptist, keep on praying for your missionaries. And listen, there are not, you guys are one of the few churches that support us, that communicate consistently on a frequent basis that you're praying for us. I'm not saying that all the other churches don't, but not all do communicate that fact. And so let me just encourage you, keep on keeping on, and that's a blessing. Well, we are the Charles Nichols family. I've already introduced my family, but very grateful for the ladies that God has given me, my wife, obviously, being the chief lady, and I've got two other young ladies that are a blessing, Lisa and Naomi, and very grateful to serve the Lord together. I would like to start out just giving you some brief facts about the country of Brazil. Now, as I introduce this, I would like to use the text of John chapter 4. Go ahead and turn with me briefly. John chapter 4. I will introduce some facts about Brazil. Then I will ask the men to play the presentation. Then I will give you a brief update, take some questions. And if we have time, I've got a brief challenge that I would like to bring this evening. But in John chapter 4, if you would look with me, John chapter 4, we find here the disciples. They have gone into town, and they're coming back questioning, wondering, you know, if someone had brought meat to their Savior and our Savior, Jesus. And in chapter 4, verse number 35, Jesus says, well, actually 34, Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye, they are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Now I'm reminding, would like to remind you, church, hopefully tonight you'll be able to lift up your eyes and look at some of the results of the harvest in Brazil. I'm excited. Your theme for your missions conference is the gospel call. And listen, the gospel call is evident for each one of us as believers. But often during mission conference, God starts dealing with hearts. And God, I believe, without a shadow of a doubt, just seeing, it's been a blessing to see you folks on fire for the Lord. Now, I mentioned it to a couple of people, just the friendliness of the church family here at First Baptist. Talking to the young people. Boy, it's exciting to see all these young people serving and wanting to come. I'm honored to sign a Bible. I mean, I have probably here has been the most young people that have come in all of our visits this time, asking to sign the Bible. And it touches my heart that you guys are excited about that. But I want you to lift up your eyes, because sometimes in all the rush, in all the busyness of the week, we forget about the harvest. And the disciples were becoming more and more like Christ, but the Lord had to remind them, listen, I want you to lift up your eyes and look unto the harvest, for they are white already, unto the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Now the Lord's called us to the country of Brazil. Brazil has a population of 213 million, more or less, as I mentioned this morning. People have asked and oftentimes don't realize how big the country of Brazil is. Brazil actually, in land area, is as large as the continental USA approximately. And from tip to tip, from north to south, it is as far north to south as the United States is from east to west. So if you would take the United States and you would flip it directly up, it would be basically the same distance from the tip, northern tip of Brazil to the southern tip of Brazil. It is a massive country. We do speak Portuguese. Portuguese, I have heard it described as Spanish with a French accent. So we do use more nasaled sounds than the Spanish. The Spanish is more precise in their pronunciation. For example, in Spanish, mother is madre. In Portuguese, it's mãe. So we use quite a bit more nasals and different parts of our mouth, but it's a complete different language. I'll go ahead and quote John 3:16 for anyone wondering what it sounds like. John 3:16 sounds like this. Porque Deus amou o mundo de tal maneira que deu o seu Filho unigênito para que todo aquele que nele crê não pereça, mas tenha a vida eterna. Now, as a country, and of course, it's already been quoted up here, so we have been biblical in our Bible tongues speaking this evening, okay? Just wanted to clarify that, make sure we get that correct. But as you think of the country, we live in the second most populous state in the whole country. We live in the state of Minas Gerais, and we are in the southeastern part of Brazil. Now, when I say southeastern, a lot of people think, well, you're on the coast. No, we're about 8 hours still to get to the coast because it is a huge country. Now, in our state, we've got about 21.4 million people in our state. And in our state that I am aware of, there are only 4 or 5 North Americans that are planting Baptist churches, gospel preaching Baptist churches. Now, when you look at the country, there are 26 states and 1 federal district. Okay, so a total of 27 different states. Out of those states, now I personally, and sometimes sincere missionaries, they end up stating things that aren't completely 100% correct. Okay, so I do want to put that disclosure on, but I personally believe that I know of not only American but Brazilian missionaries in 15 of those states who are preaching the gospel, planting churches. Now, when I mention that, it doesn't mean that in the other states there are non-existent, okay? However, the country is ripe unto harvest. Out of 26 states, there are states that I know have no knowledge of any missionaries or nationals that are preaching the gospel. I could take you in our state, and I could drive with you, take you at least 6 hours through towns after towns after towns that have no gospel witness. And as you go through, you see churches, you see Catholics, most of them will be Catholic, and you see people who are just like you and I, working, trying to make ends meet, trying to do their best to live life. But yet, the gospel that I know of has not yet gotten to them. Now, Brazil is a country where there is the largest number of non-contacted people groups in the world. In the Amazon rainforest, and I just checked this to make sure I'm quoting it correctly, there are approximately 124 uncontacted indigenous groups living in the Amazon rainforest. Now, young people and middle-aged people and people with much wisdom, that's a lot of people groups that have never been contacted. Now, when we say no contact, this is not people that have just not heard the gospel but have other ways, like through the internet. These are Indians out in the middle of the jungle that have not ever been contacted by humans. I mean, not that they're not humans, but, you know, okay. Humans not contacted by what we would call modern humans, okay? So when you stop and think of that, and oftentimes we think, well, if God calls, I'm going to the Amazon rainforest to preach to the non-contacted people. Well, the Bible tells us that the God of this world, He has blinded the eyes of them that believe not, lest the glorious, or the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. Wouldn't it be wonderful if the only thing that was keeping those non-contacted people from hearing the gospel would be one young man or one young lady to say, I'm going to be that person and I'm going to go. But you know what? Those non-contacted people are protected by the governments, and they do not allow anyone into the jungle. And when I say they do not allow, literally, they have the military that protects people from getting in those jungles to present the gospel to those people. I have been into the Javari area, and that's the area where the largest group in Brazil of non-contacted people is. And if I'm not mistaken, of the whole entire, there's over 14 groups of people in the Javari Valley. And it's not a large area, but 14 groups of non-contacted people. And yet we could not even get back into the already contacted to treat their dental problems. We could not. The government would not allow us to get back in to treat those who already had contact. So when you lift up your eyes and you see the need, listen, there has to be much prayer. There has to be God not only calling and us surrendering, but as Christians, we need to be praying that the gospel would be allowed, or that somehow the gospel will get back. Now, there are ways that indirectly the gospel is getting out into the Indians, okay? I know of good missionaries that are working along the rivers. And see, although we can't go in, the Indians that do come out seeking help, they have contact. And then you've got your Indians that are already hearing the gospel and getting saved, and then they can go back in. So we need to pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that He would send forth laborers into the harvest, and perhaps that would be a wonderful prayer request to add to your prayer list. Lord, help the gospel to get to those non-contacted people. Now, I believe with all my heart that we need to respect authority, but at the same time, people need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, just putting that out there, pray that God will send laborers and that people who have not heard will hear the gospel call. So those are some statistics. Brazil is home of the fourth largest city in the world. São Paulo has 21,650,000 approximately people. And it's an amazing city to fly into. You literally fly into, and the only thing you can see on the horizon as you're getting into is city, 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 city. You look down, and all those huge skyrise are about that big. And you see cars just like little ants. And I've flown in many times to São Paulo, and every time I fly into and look down and you think, those are people just like you and I. They need to hear the gospel. Now, I know of many missionaries that are in São Paulo doing great works and reaching people for God's glory. But there are many states, and São Paulo, the state, is probably the most focused on as far as North American missionaries. There's really good works in the state of São Paulo. But there are many other states that are needing gospel witnesses. So young people, middle-aged people, people with great wisdom, let me encourage you, pray. And I trust every one of us would be willing, Lord, if you should call, I'm willing to go. And if he does not call, Lord, I'm praying that the Lord of the harvest will continue to raise up laborers for his glory. Now, I would like to go ahead and show you the presentation at this time, and then after, give a brief update, and then I'll take some questions. Thank you.
Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Ephesians 2:19-20. In the city of Carmo do Rio Claro, Brazil, God is building something beautiful for his glory. Brick by brick, life by life, soul by soul, Jesus Christ continues to change hearts and establish his church. We are the Charles Nichols family, Charles, Isabel, Lisa, and Naomi, church planting missionaries working in Brazil since 2004. We are sent by and through Madison Baptist Church in Madison, Alabama, where Dr. Mike Allison is our pastor. I would like for you to listen to Igor, a young man who was reached through our ministry, share his personal testimony.
Eu vim de uma tradição católica.
I was raised in a Catholic home, but at an early age, I got trapped in the world of drugs, alcohol, and sin. I knew I needed God, but I didn't know how to find him. Through a friend, Cristiano, I came to the Baptist Church in Carmo. There, Pastor Nathan Nichols shared the gospel with me as we were walking to buy a rotisserie chicken. That day, I realized my need for Christ, repented of my sin, and trusted Jesus as my Savior. But even after salvation, I struggled. I drifted back into the world for a time, yet God never gave up on me. He brought me back to church, back to himself, and began to grow me through discipleship and Bible seminary. Now, I serve in the ministry, leading music, discipling, and I am praying for God's guidance as I seek his call on my life to missions. Igor's story is just one of many, a life rebuilt on the cornerstone, now a part of a growing church family reaching others with the gospel. About 24 kilometers away, God has opened another door in the city of Conceição da Aparecida. William and Sabrina, a precious couple that was led to the Lord, baptized and trained through the ministry in Carmo do Rio Claro, are faithfully leading an outreach ministry. What began as simple visits and tracts left in mailbox has grown into monthly services and souls being saved. Families like Paulo and Adriele, who found a gospel tract in their mailbox, have now trusted Christ and joined the church family. So far, 15 souls have come to Christ, and as God continues to save and build His church, we are prayerfully anticipating seeing a fully established church plant in Conceição in the near future. While God works in the hearts of adults, He is also powerfully working in the hearts of children. Beto and Rose lead the children's ministry both in Carmo and in neighboring towns. Through weekly Bible classes, VBS, and community outreach, children are coming to Christ, many hearing the true gospel for the very first time. Just this past year, Vacation Bible School saw 10 children trust Christ as Savior. These are young lives being grounded on the true foundation of Jesus Christ, the cornerstone. Over the past term on the field, God has steadily grown the work in Carmo do Rio Claro. As the church has grown, we've reached the limits of our rented facilities, but once again, God has gone before us. The land for our permanent church home has already been fully purchased. The blueprints are finalized. The city permits and approvals have all been secured. Now, we stand ready, preparing to break ground and build a permanent home for the ministry. God continues to grow. As we prepare to build, we continue to trust the Lord, knowing that just as He hath faithfully guided every step along the way, He will also provide the necessary resources to complete the place where lives will be changed for generations to come. This building is not the goal. The gospel is the goal. But this building will allow us to continue reaching souls, discipling believers, training leaders, and sending laborers into His harvest. And together, as fellow laborers in Christ, we rejoice in what God has done and look forward with confidence in what He will do next. In whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit, Ephesians 2:2. From broken lives made whole to new churches being planted, this is the work of God for His glory alone. Thank you for standing with us as we labor together, being built upon Christ, the cornerstone.
Amen. Well, I trust that's a blessing. Like I said this morning, that's a four years and 11 months condensed down into 5 minutes and 26 seconds. So a lot more of things happened during that time, but trust it, giving you just a glimpse of what God can do. I do want to share a personal story of that precious couple that was led to the Lord by through a track. So Paulo and Adriele, and you saw them in the presentation, they were moving back. So they moved back in April of last year to Conceição da Aparecida. They were at a very low point in their relationship. Paulo was used to be a professional soccer player, and his wife, Adriele, is a corporate lawyer. And so they moved back to her hometown with their little baby, Liz, and today she's 2 years old, just a precious little girl. But little did they know that the very day before, we had gone into Conceição da Aparecida for the first time. That Saturday before, we had gone in with our young people and a group of people witnessing, and then we held an evening service. And through the afternoon, as we witnessed, we stuck tracts in mailboxes. Now, you heard it mentioned, but let me share with you these details. Paulo walks out to his post office or his mailbox on Sunday. He opens the mailbox and looks in, and he finds that tract. He flips it over, and he sees the address and service times of our church in Carmo do Rio Claro. Well, he looked at and he thought, I'm going to go visit. And our midweek services are on Thursdays. That following Thursday, he drove across, and it was raining. I mean, it was, he left, and he said, preacher, I was trying to get to church on time, but it was just crazy. They ended up getting there late. Walked in kind of sheepishly, and we were already through our song service, halfway through our prayer service, and getting ready for the preaching. And as they walked in, sat in the back. Afterwards, as he apologized, I said, listen, that's no problem. I love it when people still purpose to get to church. You can get here late, no problem, just come. It's a blessing. Well, after a couple of services, I was able to lead Paulo to the Lord. And right after that happened, we went over and we were visiting with them in their house. And as we're sitting on their couch talking to them about the gospel, Adriele, even though she was raised in church, she came under the conviction that she Even she, having heard the gospel, she was taught that it was by her works that she would gain entrance into heaven. Well, that night, the Holy Spirit showed her through the Bible that salvation is only by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. There are no works of righteousness that can pay our penalty for our sin. That night, she also put her faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Isabel and I walked them through a 24-week Bible discipleship course, and what a blessing to see them grow, not only in their personal faith, grow in their relationship, but also grow in their desire to see others come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now, this morning I mentioned, I will repeat again, there's nothing that keeps anyone from coming to Christ. But once you're saved, the Holy Spirit starts working from the inside out. Shortly after they were saved, Paul came up to me and said, "Preacher, I've got something that's bothering me, something that's bothering me." And I said, "Well, brother, what is it?" He said, "You know, we're living together, but we've never been married." And I said, "Well, I'm glad that's bothering you. You know what? We can get that taken care of, no problem whatsoever." And so on May of this year, as we were coming back to the States, the day we left Brazil, we left at about 9 o'clock in the morning, drove through Conceição da Aparecida with our suitcase and everything ready to go. And at 10 o'clock, Isabel and I signed as witness for their civil wedding ceremony. So we find that precious couple just about destroyed by Satan, now firmly put together by faith in Jesus Christ, faithfully serving, being productive, all because of one little gospel tract, but a great big God. Now, not only have we seen them saved, we've seen people saved regularly in the work there, seen people be obedient to baptism and join the church, and it's been a blessing. As we came through last furlough, we had two goals, purchase land and also start a Bible Institute. And for God's glory, both of those objectives were fulfilled this last term. We have fully purchased and paid for the property, as you saw. Blueprints already completely developed, and we also have all of our city permits to now take our next step of faith. And that next step of faith is, as soon as we get back, by God's grace, we're going to break ground and build that auditorium. Now, that's about a 244 seating capacity auditorium, which will be enough for us to continue our growth and also continue the growing of every ministry that we currently have in Brazil. Now, I do have on the display table a 3D printed up model of that. So if anybody wants to walk through our future auditorium, just swing by. I'd love to open it up. And if you don't want me, you can go ahead and pull off the layers and kind of figure out what all those layers have. But I trust that you'll pray for us, that God will bless. Now, one of the blessings, as you've seen, God's not only working among the adults, but also the children. And I'll tell you, God has brought that couple, a precious couple, to work with the children, to train our people. And there's a long story behind that. We've been friends of Beth and Jose for years and years. Remember 2020, what was hitting? So 2020, COVID's hitting. He's working for the Brazilian government oil company and has worked for years. They offer an early retirement. He takes his retirement and moves and joins our church. Now, there are a couple that were saved at middle age in life. But once they got saved, they got on fire for the Lord and wanted to learn how to work with children. So for 15 years, they have invested personally going and learning how to work with children. And now they have a ministry, not only for our church, but they also go to neighboring churches and in other states and teach them how to work with children, how to put on vacation Bible schools. And we're very blessed by that couple. And now we have workers that are continually working and leading children to a saving knowledge in Jesus Christ. So all of that for God's glory. Now, this morning I did mention, and I do want to be faithful to my word, I mentioned about the prayer request and how God brought medical blades up to the Amazon, right? Let me share this story, and I'll go ahead and take a couple of questions this evening. So, I have a brother-in-law who is a dentist. He's Brazilian. He was reached through our ministry when he was just a young tot. And then as he was growing, he wanted to do something with his life that would not only supply for his family, but also be a blessing in the ministry. God led him to dentistry school, and he graduated and has been a dentist now for, I believe, probably about 15 years, but just an amazing dentist. My dad hated dentists. But his son-in-law was the only one who could work on his. God has given my brother-in-law just an amazing gift. He takes care of adults, young people, children also, and just amazing what God does through him. But he uses it also as a ministry. And we take usually one, oftentimes two trips during a year to different parts in remote parts of Brazil where we have church planting missionaries working, Brazilian nationals planting churches, and we usually go for 3 to 4 days and treat the people for free. Now, this particular story took place on one of the trips that we took up to the Amazon. So we are 22 hours deep upriver into the jungle, okay? 22 hours. And this particular missionary was an Indian, a Brazilian Indian, that has been faithfully planting a church and doing a wonderful work with the river people and also the Indians in that area. And we get there, we set up everything and just a lean-to with some just really flimsy little tin roof on top. And as we're treating the people, the second day, there was a young lady that came into the place there, and she had an horrible abscess tooth. I mean, it was just really infected and just really hurting her. I mean, she was miserable. And as she came in, Tiago gave her some anesthesia and started getting things ready. And he looked at me and he said, listen, I'm going to need the, and here we go, Portuguese and English again. He said, I'm going to need the scalpel, okay? And no problem. I got the handle and everybody, you know, you got the scalpel and you got the disposable blades that you got to get all that fixed together. And I'm looking for the blades. And I look around, I've got all my equipment laid out and everything, and there's no blades. So I said, Tiago, there's no blades. He said, maybe they're in the, I'm sure the secretary's put them in the suitcases. Go look in the suitcases. We had like 3 suitcases that had been full of equipment. So I go back in the suitcases. I'm looking and we've got some extra stuff in there, but guess what's not in the suitcases? The blades. Well, I look at Tiago and I'm like, there's no blades. And he said, well, without the blades, I cannot do what I need to do. And so I looked again, no blades whatsoever. In the middle of the jungle. And so he went ahead, gave some medicine to the young lady, and let her know, listen, why don't you step aside? If you could wait for us right out here, I'm going to wait for the anesthesia kick in and the medicine that I've given you to kick in. And hopefully we'll be able to help you. And he sent her out. As soon as she walked out, we prayed and we asked God, Lord, we're here in the middle of the jungle. I don't know how you are going to do it, but we do believe that you can do anything. Well, he called the next person in. I believe it was the second person after that young lady that, and she's still outside waiting. And I look up and there's the bank goes down to the river. And it's called the Rio Negro, the Black River, beautiful river. And walking up the embankment, I see this person dressed in white. No, it wasn't an angel. It wasn't hand-delivered by an angel. But as this young lady started walking up and approached, she came directly to us, and we noticed that it was written, Brazilian government and nurse so-and-so, her name on it. And she started asking what we were doing, and we explained to her what we were doing, and she said, listen, thank you. I think it's awesome that you guys are here helping. Thank you. And she looked at us and said, do you need anything? Well, why, yes. Yes, we do. And we mentioned to her, asked her, would you happen to have any blades? And she said, well, do you need numbers such and such, numbers such and such, number? And she just rattled off like 5 different sizes and of blades. And she ended up giving us not only the blade that we needed, multiple blades. She also asked if we needed additional medication. And she gave us a box of medicine. That not only were we able to take care of that young lady, but we were to take care of more people than we would have been able to if that lady had not gone up or been going down the river at that time. Now, someone would look at that and say, what a coincidence. You see, a detail that I left out is she only twice a year went up and back on that river, twice a year. What are the odds? What are the odds that we would be in the middle of the Amazon jungle and that day, shortly after we prayed, that lady would come down? Hey, listen, the odds are we've got a God who knows what we need when we need it. He answers prayer. So listen, Christian, may that story encourage you and remind you prayer works, and all of that for God's glory. Now, we've seen many souls saved, and the blessed part is when the people come in to be treated, and obviously certain regions is a little bit easier, especially if you're in a more organized town, kind of hard in the jungle, but whenever the people come in to be treated in these clinics that we put on, we get their information as much as we can, their address, phone number, and whatnot, and then all those contacts are turned back over. Every evening, we have evangelistic services, and it's amazing. It's not a requirement. People can get help without having to come back to the service, but most of the people who do get help, they come back willingly, they listen to the gospel, and we have seen many people saved while we're there, but then we turn those contacts back to that pastor, and he follows up, and the Lord has blessed greatly that ministry. So to God be the glory. I trust that story has been a blessing to you. Now, let me ask you, is there anyone here that has a question about us, about the ministry, about the country? Anyone? Yes, sir.
Two questions. So you're fluent in Portuguese. You preach in Portuguese?
Oh, yes, sir. So not only do I preach in Portuguese, when I'm in Brazil, all of my Bible reading, studying, everything is done in Portuguese. And now we do also, we do speak English, and especially when the girls were younger, we tried to keep English in our home and speak only English in order to keep them, you know, familiar with the English language. But in Brazil, I preach, do everything, studying everything in Portuguese. Yes, sir.
And the second question, so Brazil's a big soybean
competitor. Where do they grow soybeans in Brazil? Oh, goodness. Yeah. So they grow soybean all over, but especially in the western central part of Brazil huge farming country. So around where we're at, a lot of coffee growing because it's more in the hills. But if you'll go, let's say, 8 hours west of us, I mean, it's just flat plains, and they grow cotton, they grow soy, they grow just a lot of crops out there. But yeah, so come down and, you know, if you grow soy, you want to go, I mean, you come down, I'll show you the soy fields. But it's fantastic. Yes, sir. Okay, so currently the economy is doing very poorly, okay? And there's several reasons for that, but I trust, and I'll put that information into a prayer request. Please pray for the country of Brazil, okay? We are going through some very serious times in which we are running the risk of losing our liberties quickly, okay? I'll put it and leave it at that. We are live, so I don't want to share much, but if anybody wants to hear more of the current situation, I'll be glad to share afterwards, but pray, because no one man is going to solve the problems of any country. But I will tell you, Jesus Christ is the answer. Now, Brazil currently is on, their currency is the real, or real in Portuguese, R-E-A-L, the real. And that has been in place since 1994. Now, from 85, when we first got to Brazil, to 94, I believe they went through four currency change, and they're on the fifth currency now, and it has lasted this far. However, it is unfortunate, because of inflation, it is losing its value rapidly. Now, the dollar is strong currently at this time, but when the dollar is strong, it's very hard on the people. And so it's unfortunate when the real is strong, the dollar is weak, and it's hard on the missionaries. But we have been, of course, when they put it into place, they had the real stronger than the dollar. The dollar, $1 was worth about 90 cents at one time, and this is years ago. But now currently, $1 is equal to 5.39, more or less. And so the dollar is right now strong. But do pray for the country. Okay? Yes, sir.
Do
Okay, so that's a great question. Brazil is a very open country. Of course, with all the open borders, you know, they don't have open borders per se, but they have miles and miles of expansive borders, okay? And so it's not really hard to get into the country. And unfortunately, a lot of people are getting into the country of Brazil. And so that is a very large concern. The immigration process, you know, those who go in legally, you got to go through, they have a process and even of naturalization and things like that. But it is a concern of mine. The current government doesn't seem to be much concerned about that. But yeah, we have got a lot of land border in Brazil. Yes, ma'am. That's a great question. So here's the thing, for Catholics, one of the main things just of most Catholic is about Mary, okay? Because Mary is taught she's the co-redemptress. Unfortunately, a lot of evangelicals in Brazil, they speak very bad about Mary, okay? And so because the Catholics worship Mary, they believe that it's of some use to try to speak evil of her to get them to not worship her. Well, that's not even biblical, okay? Mary was an incredible lady, highly favored of God, and that's according to Scripture, okay? So what I do, and this is even a question my wife asked me when I met her. Remember, I shared this morning how we met? Shortly after we met, we got to talk, and she looked at me, and she said, "What do you believe about Mary?" I go, "Okay, I believe she's an incredible woman. I admire her willingness to submit to God's will in her life. I admire that." Now, quickly after I say that, I then reaffirm that Mary had a Savior, okay? And in Luke, she exalts God, her Savior. So now, if Mary is a co-redemptress with Christ, she shouldn't need a Savior. And just by her own admission, she had a Savior. And so therefore, she, even though highly favored of God, was saved the same exact way that you and I are saved, by faith in Jesus Christ. So there are some challenges in each different one. One thing I find that is really helpful, because they believe that our Bible is different than theirs. Okay, now, let's face it, the Apocrypha, they have added to there, and they consider it today as inspired Scripture and whatnot, but the gospel is in their Bible. A lot of times I'll ask them, "Hey, can I see your Bible? Let me show it to you." Now, another added problem of the Catholics is that the Bible is not the final authority for them. They accept the popes and then the tradition of the church, and they have different sources of authority for them. And so sometimes it's a little bit hard. But if you point them to the Bible, most Roman Catholics, when you show it to them in their Bible, they at least start thinking about these things. Okay? But I love that question. That's awesome. Yes, ma'am. Okay, you want the real truth? Okay. Because there's a lot of money that goes into keeping those people that way. According to my knowledge, my understanding of the situation, it all has to do with money. And it's unfortunate. But you have all kinds of foreign countries that pour money into the Amazon, into protecting, into keeping those people that way. And unfortunately, that money, anyway, yeah, where you have money, a lot of times you got a lot of sticky fingers. And that's how it goes. So that's according to my understanding of the situation. And I have been there. We offered to go back into the tribe. And the tribe had one representative. And that one representative wanted to know how much we were going to help them. And that one person of the tribe was living very lavish lifestyle. Not the civilized tribes. I mean, they got phones, they got all kinds of stuff, yeah. And I'm saying the ones that are closer to the villages and whatnot, you know. In the jungle, they're not going to have them. But yeah, there are many Indian tribes in the Amazon that do have considerable technology. Okay? Yes, ma'am. It unfortunately, I've noticed, and I would say probably the last 10 years, more and more, it is getting more prevalent. And I was surprised, went a few years down to an area that I had been in before that did not have any Muslim presence. And now there's, you walk down the road and you can notice and you see their places of worship, and it's, yeah, it's increasing. It sure is. Yes, sir. So specifically, I've been twice. Yep. And hope to go back. I've got some guys in my church. They're like, preacher, we've never been. We need to go. So who knows? Maybe this next time when I get back, we'll head up again. But yeah, it's an amazing place. We have freshwater pink dolphins. Few kids that like animals, pink dolphins, river dolphins. Look them up. They're awesome. Incredible animals. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am. See, I knew someone was going to ask that, and I really can't answer that question. I'll explain you why. When I went to Brazil, I was 7 years old. Now, mom and dad went to a year and a half, basically, of language school, and that's where they learned. I never studied as children, we never studied, but playing with the Brazilian children, we picked up the language. And so I can remember when I got there, not understanding any, but I would say within about a year, we were at least conversational in Portuguese. And then, of course, over the years, even though I haven't specifically studied the language, reading and studying, my knowledge has increased greatly of the language. But language, and a lot of people don't realize this, language studies is a continual study. In order for someone to master a language, it's years and years and years of not only direct contact, but of studying that particular language. So, but that's a great, great question. All right, anyone else? Anyone else? Yes, ma'am. Okay, I was 7 years old. Can you imagine? Just really young. That's a good question. Yes, ma'am. We did not. The two trips that I've taken have been on different rivers, and that's probably the reason, other than the nurse only went up, and I'm not even sure if she's still a nurse or whatnot. This was back in 2000 and I want to say 12 that was the second trip, so that had to have been around 2017 that I took that trip, that God answered that prayer vividly. The previous one was around 2012, and so I never saw that young lady, neither the nurse or the young lady that we treated. I never saw her again. Yep. Anyone else? Yes, sir, Pastor.
So I know you've been there about over 20 years as far as like a missionary.
Yes, sir. Good question.
After you started the first church you were at, what was it that kind of led you to this location, starting church here, and just explain how that took place and why you went to this area?
Okay, great question. So in 2006, we got to the field in 2004. I took over dad's work for a year while he was back on medical leave in the States. When he got back, I turned his work back over to him and continued working in Formiga with them as kind of youth pastor assistant, but also we planted a church in 2006 in the city of Arcos. And so the first service, never forget, because July 29th of 2006 was actually my wife's birthday, and so that was our first service in Arcos. Well, we got the church organized, and my brother-in-law pastored that work for many years. When we got back in 2008 from our furlough, Dad had talked to me and said, son, I believe I've taken the work in Formiga up to where I believe I can take it. Why don't you pray about taking it over? And then as the Lord would direct, it'd be the church, the Bible Institute, and whatnot. So in 2009, I felt the Lord leading me back to Formiga to take over Dad's main work. And from 2009 to 2013, we transitioned that work. In 2013, turned it completely over to national leadership, and it continues on today. In 2013, we knew that we had to come back to get Isabel's citizenship. And so we came up, spent a little bit over a year and a half to get Isabel's citizenship. And during that time, and actually before even we came back, I was studying areas in Brazil and praying about where God would have us to go. Now, I'm going to leave out a lot of details as far as specifically, but I wrote to the Southern Baptist Convention of our state in Brazil because they do a really good job of maintaining records of where they have works and different things. And I asked them, I explained to them, I was independent fundamental Baptist and looking to plant new churches. And they sent me a list of areas that they had churches in Brazil. In our particular area, I noticed that there was not even Southern Baptist churches. And so we prayed about it. And we ended up visiting, when we got back, 13 cities, if I'm not mistaken. And this particular city was the one that God really gave us peace about. And just an amazing way how he led us there, that even as we were searching for houses, we went to the city three times, and we had to travel 2 hours to get back and forth from where we were staying. And the third time, I told Isabel, listen, if God does not open a house today, then we'll understand that God is closing the doors for that particular city. We went, had three houses to look at, looked at the first one, no, the second one, no, third one, no. And I looked at the realtor and I said, do you have any other houses? And he's like, I'm sorry, I only have, wait, there was a guy that came into our office today and he's turning in his house. He said, why don't y'all go have lunch? I'm going to call him and see if he'd be willing. He's moving. He said that he's moving. After lunch, I'll see if we can take you by and see this house. We went by, this, saw the house. That was the exact house that the Lord opened up for us. And we have no doubt whatsoever that God led us to that area. So we are right. It's a small city, but we are within 50 minutes either side of us. There are two major cities, university cities. And so there's a radius of, I would say, probably about 50 miles that there is no Baptist church that I'm aware of in that area. And so we're excited about being there, branching out into another city and training young men and young ladies. And we're excited. I believe that that area will be able to plant several good fundamental churches, so to get the gospel out in that area. No, sir. No, sir. Yeah. Nope. Great need. Great need. Yeah, for the Christian. And listen, don't go somewhere unless you know God wants you there. But for the Christian who says they're willing to do anything and that feels that God is calling and that is not obedient, it's not because there's not places to go. Oh my goodness, there's places all over, even here in the States, that need good, fervent Christians. Amen. Anyone else? And preacher, I'm already, it's 7:15, so I don't want to prolong much. Yes, ma'am. Oh, that's a good question. You know, so we do things very different in Brazil. Some things very different. Some things are just, it's normal. You know, the food's different. Staple in Brazil is rice and beans and a lot of times a protein and a salad. And then a lot of times spaghetti is like on Sunday around our area. They'll have spaghetti. They'll have potato salad. They'll have roasted chicken and different things like that. But basic food is different than what we have here. Not only that, their mannerisms. Brazilians are very, they have very small personal space. So when you talk to them, they'll get up real close to you. They're not being, rude or offensive, but they like to touch, okay? In Brazil, men hug each other, all right? And it's not like this handshake and, you know, it's like, it's like men hug each other. I mean, it's just what we do. Not only that, you put your arm around him and pat him on the belly, you know? Yeah, that's normal, okay? That's, hey, how you doing, brother? It's just, you know, hey. A lot of times when you, especially, they'll give you three kisses, okay? But they don't actually kiss your cheek, but they'll put their cheek up to your cheek and go, and that's the way they greet each other, okay? Not only that, whenever we don't knock on doors. Now they're getting more doorbells, so you'd ring the doorbell, or you clap. That's how you stand outside the house and you clap. People, whoever, and the houses are open. Most of them don't have central air and heat, and that's how they hear it. So you're out there and you clap, and they'll come out, and they'll invite you in. If you're invited in, it's polite. Whether they have a rug at the door or not, first thing you do as they invite you in, you walk through their gate, you say, excuse me, okay? Polite, excuse me, because you're asking permission. Even though they invited you, you're showing respect of their home, okay? If they, and as you go into their door, entering their house, you always pat your feet, whether they have a rug there or not, even if your feet are not dirty. This right here is polite, okay? Because it's showing that you do not want to dirty their house. So, you know, small things like that, very different. But I'll tell you, awkwardness when you get back to the States and you forget about that. And somebody, yeah, come on in. Excuse me. Sorry, fresh off the field. Okay, you're one of those. Yep, that's us. Amen. All right, any other questions? Yes, sir. That's a good question. So I felt when I was at a mission conference, when we were back on furlough in 1990, I was 12 to 13 years old. I felt that God was calling me. And during that mission conference, I went forward and I surrendered my life. So I believe that's where I was called to the field of Brazil. All right? Fantastic. Now listen, because of our time, I'll go ahead and I do want to mention this. The Great Commission, Matthew chapter 28, okay? Let me just mention 4 points about this passage. Open with, Pastor, can I take 3 minutes? 3 minutes. Open Matthew 28. We'll not even read it, but I want to show you just some incredible things about this passage that God gave me a few months ago, and I love sharing this with the churches during this furlough. Notice in verse number 16, the 11 disciples are on a mountain, and Jesus appears to them. In verse 17, it says, when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. You go down through the Great Commission. First of all, you see the greatest person, and that's Jesus Christ. You see the disciples worshiping Jesus Christ. There is no greater person that has ever touched the face of this earth than our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Not only do I find the greatest person, we find the greatest power. For in verse number 18, he says, all power is given unto me. Christian, that's the authority that you and I have through Jesus Christ to go and fulfill what Jesus Christ wants us to do. We should not bow to anyone. God has given us the authority and power to go into all the world. Not only do we find the greatest person, the greatest power, but we also find the greatest privilege. For you see, God did not ordain angels to preach. God did not make rocks. He could to proclaim the gospel, but he chose to that the gospel be shared by you and I, human beings. So we find the greatest person, the greatest power, the greatest privilege, but we also see the greatest presence. For you see here in verse 20, he says, and lo, I am with you always. Jesus did not send us because he didn't want to do it. He sends us and he says, I'm with you always. No matter how lonely you feel, Jesus Christ is always with you. However, and I end with this, the fifth one is the greatest problem. Notice in verse number 17, he says, and when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some what? I believe that unbelief, doubt, is one of the greatest problems that hinder our obedience to our God. Christian, from the Great Commission, you're getting ready, you're preparing for the mission conference, let me just encourage you. Continue letting God work in your heart for missions. Now, I will say this, not all are called. God wants some to stay here. You see, it's impossible that we do what we do if it were not for people, churches, just like you, who know that God wants them as a lighthouse here, who know that God wants them to be obedient to not only being a witness in Jerusalem, Samaria, unto the uttermost parts, but do pray. And as we go, Lord willing, 5 more years, we'll get back through again, perhaps 6 years, and we'll be updating and rejoicing. And one day, as I said this morning, looking for that blessed hope. I don't know if I'll be in the States or in Brazil, but I do know without a shadow of a doubt, if Christ comes while we're in Brazil, we'll meet you in the air. Amen. Pastor, thank you so much.